Gord Rorschen, 2nd Battalion Queen's Own Rifles of Canada, retired rank, Master Warrant Officer. All right, first question. Where were you born?
I was born in Saskatchewan, a place called Aaron, Saskatchewan, A-R-R-A-N, in 1951.
Why did you choose to enlist in the Canadian Infantry?
When I was going to school in Yorkton, a high school there, I did 2 years of the cadet services, and then a year in a reserve ACAC unit, and they were recruiting to go to Europe, so I joined up to go to Europe.
Oh, cool. ACAC as in anti-aircraft?
Anti-aircraft. It was a militia ACAC unit in Yorkton.
All right. What motivated you to choose the infantry over the other branches?
I just went to enlist, and they didn't offer anything. They said, well, you got your you got a live body. They took it.
Did you have any prior military experience before enlistment?
I had the 2 years in cadet services and a year in the militia artillery unit, ACAC unit.
Did you feel the Canadian government was properly prepared for involvement in another conflict following the huge demobilization following the Second World War?
No, I think we had gone down too far, and the recruiting for Korea was really out of this world. They were taking them left and right, and there wasn't enough time to train a lot of these people. A lot of it was forced training to bring them up to standard.
Oh, okay. Especially with the influx of recruits into the Special Force.
And Special Forces, and Special Force, the instructors, they couldn't spread them that far around. You were short of senior NCO, which you need, qualified, so you promote them, but they were just too thin on the ground, eh?
Okay. Did you feel the Canadian government was fully committed in its pledging of support for the UN mission in Korea?
I think there you're getting into politics.
Yeah.
When you're a low-down peasant, you don't even get involved with it. So that'd be more on the political side.
All right.
You have to be more on the political side, so you have to talk to some of your political scientists that you have at university.
Oh, I've got a few friends that are.
You can ask them the better. They're probably better prepared to answer that than I am. Eh?
All right. Were you satisfied by the Canadian government's efforts to retrain and mobilize part of the Canadian Armed Forces?
Yes, I was, because I had gone originally to Europe, and we did 2 years of intensive training there, because we're part of the 27th Brigade, and the Russian threat was there. So when I came back to go to Korea, I was already fully trained.
Oh, excellent. So you received you think you received more training than some of the other recruits that were sent to Korea later on.
Yeah, later on. But I had already had 2 years service, and we did a lot of training in Germany, a lot of field firing and weapons and stuff like that.
That wasn't available during Canadian training, per se?
Well, we're part of NATO there, eh? We're in the British zone, eh? In Europe, eh?
Okay. Did you anticipate a bigger commitment of troops and forces than what was committed to Korea when the war was announced?
Well, not really, because that was up to the government what size, how much they could afford, eh?
So you thought the UN forces were already...
There was a lot of different UN forces, not only the Canadians, eh?
Yep.
There was all different types of different
South
countries.
Korean.
South Koreans, you had the Turks there and everybody else. You had different countries involved in there.
Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. The Turks had a commitment in there.
Yeah. There was all the different countries involved. Beside the U.S., the U.S. had a terrific amount of people there, and they still have there.
Yeah. Were you happy with the U.S. leading the U.N. forces, or did you think they were up to the job?
Well, we were down the bottom. Yeah. It wasn't for us to decide.
Just followed orders?
Well, we just followed orders, eh?
All right. Where did your infantry training take place, even though you said in Germany?
I was posted to Valcarcy. I did my training in Valcarcy before we went to Germany. And then we did 2 years in Germany. We did all the training bases in Germany in the British zone. Eh?
Okay. How long did your training last?
We're constantly training.
Constantly training?
Yeah. there's no such thing you finish. You're always going from one exercise to the other. There's always the improvement.
Yeah.
There's always upgrading everything else, eh? And then going for different trades, eh?
Yeah.
You know, if it's straight infantry, you're going to signalers, you're going to drivers, stuff like that.
So drill was always an integral part of keeping yeah. your skills honed. And
yes.
All right. Did you get along with all of the men in your battalion?
Probably. If you were an NCO, you always had somebody down the line that didn't like you or something.
Oh.
You had to discipline them on.
All right. Were there any particular gentlemen that you didn't?
Not really.
Not really?
Not really. Some of them you just didn't like the discipline. And sometimes when you were Orly Sergeant, you were in charge of defaulters. Eh? So you had the defaulters drill, eh? And you had to do the proper drill because the other RSM was sitting watching you. If you didn't do it properly, you'd be there joining them. It goes down the line.
Excellent. Did you make some very good friends in your
lots. I have lots of friends. We have a group that we meet that we're in Korea. We meet the last Wednesday of the month at the Gorge Legion for lunch. And we have anywhere from 40 to 70 people who are stationed here or live here over the years, because the battalion at that time was 900 people sometimes.
Oh, wow.
So, and we're pretty close to that unit. So we say they didn't get posted out. If you went anywhere, you went as a complete unit, not individually.
Oh, cool.
So a lot of people I've known since, a lot of them, like from 51. I've got friends I met in 51 who were in Germany. And I know people who were I know from Korea, who were there in 54 all the time. So we come back and we went to Gordon Head before the university took over from us.
My dad told me originally that the barracks there, they were barracks and not actual classrooms now.
They were all H huts.
Yeah.
And quite a few years, the McKenna gym was a big hangar.
Oh, really?
And then it collapsed, the roof collapsed on it. That's why the new one got built.
Oh, that's interesting.
Almost in the same spot.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've walked through there, and it just never occurred to me that those were...
Well, if you go around the entrance, near the entrance, on the top end there, you'll see some gates there that have the Queen's Own crest on there, and there's another one going to be dedicated in a couple of years again there. The Princess Alexandra is coming for the dedication here.
Oh, excellent. All right. Who was the commanding officer of your battalion?
It was Bill Matthews.
Bill Matthews.
Colonel Bill Matthews, eh?
Colonel?
Yeah.
All right. Did you get along with him?
Oh, he was very good. He had Second World War experience, eh?
Oh, what unit did he serve with during the Second World War?
I think it was the Canscots, eh? I'm not
Canscots?
Too sure. I did know years ago. I think I've forgotten, eh? But if that's important, I can track it down for you if you really need to know who he was before.
I think I'll be all right with that, but that's good. So he had some prior combat experience.
Oh, yeah, he was Second World War.
Okay. Yeah, so he was familiar with battlefield tactics and everything.
Yes, he was.
Excellent. What particular weapon did you train with?
Or mostly Lee Enfield, and he had SS submachine guns.
The Sten?
The Sten, yeah. And the Pencil, that was your personal weapons, eh? And then if you were in mortar platoon, you trade on mortars or anti-tank platoon, eh? It depends where you were, eh?
Yeah. Was the Lee Enfield an easy weapon to use?
Yes. It was good because we didn't have the blockages and the stoppages like the Grand did, eh?
Oh, yeah. That's I was reading about that.
Yeah.
That was one of the Grand's main problems other semi-automatic rifles.
Jamming, eh?
Yeah.
Where you didn't have the problem with the rifle because it was single shot. And then the SMG Sten gun, you never get jams on nothing, eh? Because it's just too simple.
Really, I've read that the Sten submachine gun it was very prone to jamming. The safety catch was
you have to be careful, eh? But if you wanted to fire, you pretty well fired because you just pulled the bolt back away and landed. You know, you could fire single rounds or automatic, eh?
The Sten?
Yes. Now you try to fire rounds in 2-3 round bursts with it all the time.
Okay. Going back to the Lee Enfield. Were you disappointed that you were still using a bolt-action rifle?
No, we also had the Bren gun, too, eh?
The Bren gun, yeah.
Yes, we also had the Bren gun, eh? Because you had each section carried a Bren gun, eh?
Yeah, Bren gun, Sten gun,
yeah.
Lee Enfield rifle.
Yeah. But now, the brand gun was no. You'd always have a jam, but that was part of your training to how to clean it, clear a jam.
Yep, that's always an important part of weapons handling. How to, especially if you're in the heat of a battle, got to learn how to unjam that. But with the Lee Enfield, though, it was a good weapon. You had no problems with it.
No problem.
And did you hear any feedback from veterans coming back from the Korean battlefront about its performance?
No, didn't hear any. And the other thing is, if you were sitting in trenches, muddy trenches, it was easy to clean. Easy to clean. You pulled the barrel through, you kept it clean, and then just brush off. You had something to carry. And your main job was you looked after your weapon first before you looked after yourself.
Excellent. Let's see here. What did you train with any other weapons besides the Bren, the Sten, and the Lee Enfields?
No, not really. That's all you had in the infantry battalion. Unless you were in support company. That's where you had your mortars and machine gun platoon.
With the Vickers.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's see here. At any point, did you wish you had American weapons at your disposal, not just American, but other weapons?
Well, we're quite pleased, but we were never exposed to them all. Maybe reading in the paper or something like that, but we never had them. Unless some units maybe had a chance to go and use them, but if you were straight in the battalion, we never had them.
What weapon were you issued when you went to Korea?
You were issued a rifle there, right?
Just a rifle?
Because SMGs were issued there too. SMGs were carried by section commanders.
Section commanders?
Yeah. And then it depends if you're a signaler. If you're a signaler, you carried an SMG, because you needed your hands free for the wireless stuff like that,
Exactly, yeah. Did you feel your weapons were comparable to the Soviet ones, if not better?
Well, we never had a chance to actually see them,
But
when we were there, by the time I was there, the only shots were fired maybe on a training area. That's how we never were engaged. The guys who were there before were engaged in combat, probably could answer that question better,
With the rate of fire of the burp gun, though, did you get any training or have any sort of...
No, we didn't.
You didn't with the Soviet weapons, hear anything about them?
No, we didn't. We weren't exposed to them, put it that way. They didn't have them. We just trained on what we had.
All right.
Because the Canadian government couldn't afford it, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, ask the Americans if you could borrow a few of their captured weapons for training.
Well, some of them probably see them, because it would probably show me a different... training session, you could have brought a weapon in there and said, this is what it looks like if you capture it, this is probably how you fire it and stuff like that. Some of them were probably exposed, different people, but I personally wasn't.
During your training, was there any aspect you found lacking?
Well, it was pretty hard to tell, because you didn't know. You didn't know better.
That's true, yeah.
You were always talking about when they let up, when do I get some free time, eh?
Yeah.
you always had a sergeant or a sergeant major on your back,
Oh, yeah. Was there any part of your training you felt you could do without that was completely unnecessary? You felt it all meshed together nicely?
Somewhere along the line, there was a purpose for it,
Excellent. Did you feel your training would prepare you for Korea adequately if you got into combat, even though you arrived after?
The training I had from Germany, I was prepared to do
you,
that.
You think you were ready?
Yes.
Excellent. When were you dispatched to Korea?
I went to Korea in October as a reinforcement.
As a reinforcement?
The battalion is already there. Our battalion did, normal battalions were a year, and ours did 14 months because they were closing it out.
Which units did you replace?
We went at the same time. There was the guards and the Black Watch, And then both of those were, the guards were withdrawn before us, and Black Watch, I don't think, made it, I'm not too quite sure, One of the units didn't quite make it,
Okay.
But I think if you read the history books and tell you, some of the history books, I thought the one, the lieutenant, or ex-officer, and he said, some of the history was written wrong, because the Black Watch weren't the last unit, because some of the books were written and said the Black Watch were the last unit there. They weren't. We're the Queen's Own was the last unit there.
Yeah, from my research, that's what was said in the books as well.
There's some of the books that were written were wrong, eh?
Yeah.
Somebody didn't do their research properly.
You can get a lot of that, especially with all this revisionist history going on. That's you wonder how they get into print sometimes.
Would you like coffee too, or anything?
Oh, I'm all right, thanks.
Yeah. No, I thought, I don't want to get you excited here. Oh. Get you a coffee to calm you down.
Yeah, just motion whenever you feel like having a break.
No, I'm all right.
You're good? Oh, yeah, excellent.
No.
Because your unit was sent to Korea following the armistice, what was your unit's primary role there?
Well, when we went there, we were manning the OPs, eh? In positions there yet, eh? We had a section in the OPs. So we were across the Imjin River, across the Teal Bridge, yeah. So we were across, there was no village, I think there was one village in our area, that's all, eh?
Okay.
And all the rest had been all destroyed and everything else, eh?
So it was just primarily to watch over and make sure things were peaceful.
We used to do OPs, eh? We were on one side and they were on the other side watching us, eh?
Oh, was there propaganda being broadcasted all across the
land? I don't remember hearing any, but I know going to the OPs and when you're prowling out at night and they were checking in your sections, they're kind of scary because the guys are sitting there with loaded weapons.
Really?
Yeah. So if anything they didn't like or scary, the wild animals, something, the guys would fire, eh? So.
Oh, did you have any close calls during that period?
Not personally, but some of the guys were pretty trigger happy, eh?
Yeah, did that happen with the North Koreans forces as well on there?
No, I don't know.
You couldn't hear anything?
Well, we weren't close enough, eh?
All right.
If you heard a shot fired, well, the shot was fired. No, you didn't know somebody on your own area back doing some firing or cleaning it up or wild animals or whatever. And a lot of the training we used to do not too far from our own area, like doing some mortar firings. We used to have 60-millimeter mortars. We used to practice firing them and fire control stuff like that.
For training like that, did you have to notify by any means, North Koreans or possibly your own forces in that area?
Well, unless somebody else higher up did it. In our own area, we just did our own
just
training.
Did it anyways.
Yeah.
All right. I already answered that. Where was the name of that of the area where you were stationed?
We were north of the Imjin River, across the Teal Bridge.
How do you spell the name Imjin?
Imjin.
I-M-J-I-N,
I think it is. Imjin. And we were across the Teal Bridge.
Teal Bridge. Yeah. Could you explain the Teal Bridge?
Yeah, that's just the name they had a bridge.
It was just
a low level bridge across the Imjin River. Eh?
So the North Koreans were stationed on the other.
Oh no, we were farther up than that. Eh?
They were okay.
They were farther up. We were north of the river. Eh? Our position was north of the river. Eh?
North of the river. What other units from the forces there that were stationed around?
By the time I got there, most of the units had been withdrawn, and we were the last ones. Eh? So we were in the outpost, and we moved into what was called Maple Leaf Park.
Maple Leaf Park.
We're in Maple Leaf Park, eh? And the whole battalion was in one area. And we had a big drill hall there, and the mess halls was central, everything was central, eh?
Excellent. So there were no other Commonwealth forces in the area during your stay?
Not where we were, no. They were farther back. Eh?
Further back, okay.
Everything back, or to the sides, eh?
Okay. What other ones? Did you engage in any reconstruction efforts at all?
We only had one village in us. I think some of the medics might have gone into there, eh? But not like they're talking about in Afghanistan. There was nothing like that going on, did they?
All right.
Because we didn't have no village. We only had the one village, eh? And we had to be very careful because anything was loose, they took.
Really? Children?
Well, the adults would take it. It was a matter of survival for them. And you had a lot of bandits there, too, eh?
Oh, so you had to keep watch your stuff closely.
You had to have your own security because they would raid your own quarters. You know, and if they'd come to the quarters and we're sleeping in sleeping bags, they'd go in there all you had to do is pull the drawstring and you're in sleep mode, you can't get out.
Oh, really? Did that happen to you or any of your friends?
We did. It happened to one of our OPs, eh? I'd want to section the road, manning a roadblock, and the sentry woke the next guy up and didn't wait till the guy was on his feet, eh?
Oh.
He climbed into bed. The guy never got up, eh? So bandits come up and they just come in with their weapons and they just pulled the drawstrings around the necks, eh? Took what they wanted and that was it.
Really? OPs, what is...
Observation post, eh? Or we'd have a roadblock on each side of our area, eh? So we'd make sure no traffic come in there. We had control of that area security, eh?
Okay. Did you ever venture into Imjung at all during your time in Korea?
Into where?
Into Imjung? Imjung?
Imjung was a river.
Oh, I mean the town that was in your area.
Well, we should drive by. We didn't go in town, eh?
Didn't go in there.
There was nothing there, eh? It was just like mud huts, eh? With straw roofs, eh? And it's just a matter of survival, eh? Some of the villages back there, because they just live in one little square room, eh? And they just heat the floor underneath one little area, eh? That's all, eh?
So, yeah.
They don't have big houses like we have, eh? Mostly just small huts in the villages, eh?
Was there a lot of destruction from the conflict in your area, or was it fairly untouched?
It was all been destroyed before I got there, eh? So we had no farmers moving in. Some of them might have come from the village, worked some of the fields, eh? But all the areas hadn't been cleared for mines and stuff like that, eh? So it was dangerous for them to go off, eh?
Was there any efforts by the engineers of any of the forces?
Or maybe some of the other area. But no, they weren't capable to do that, eh?
Yeah, so they were just left there.
Because we were doing it, you never know if you needed them, eh? In a hurry.
Oh, that's true, yeah, because the armistice could have ended at any point.
Anytime, yeah.
The conflict could have resumed.
Because we had positions. We used to go to man the position all the time. We had, exercise alerts. And we used to pull out and go man our position just in case they were coming in. And we had a position to block one of the main routes all the time, eh?
Excellent. Going back to Maple Leaf Park, could you talk a little more about that?
Well, the Maple Leaf Park was the whole battalion was concentrated in one area, and we had all the company areas, and we had a big hangar there where all the any visiting stage shows used to come in, performance. Troops used to come over in entertainment, and then we had the dining rooms, separate dining rooms and stuff like that, eh?
Oh, so it was a
miniature camp, eh?
Oh, so it was a very comfortable place to be. So you got rotated back there once?
Well, we stayed there all the time.
Oh, all the time, okay.
Yeah, you lived in your own quarters. You had like quarters, eh? Like moving into a camp, which was except a little rougher, eh?
So it was a lot, you're probably glad that you didn't have to stay out in the trenches or in the hills.
Well, it was a lot better, eh?
Yeah.
Because when we were in the hills, we only had tents, eh? This way we moved into nothing but Quonset huts, eh? All over the place, eh?
Okay.
Maple Leaf Park was made out of Quonset huts all over the place, eh?
Oh, cool.
And they were built by the engineers, eh?
How big were they?
Well, they were big enough to hold a platoon of 30 people.
Platoon of 30 people?
Yeah, about 30 people, eh?
And they were bus.
And then when you're down, then in the sergeant's lines, they're divided up into threes, eh? So you had four people into a section, eh? Consoles was here. You had one door going to this side, one door going that side, and one door in the center. So you had four people in here, four in there, four in. So about 12 people lived in the senior NCOs and lines. And the officer's line was basically the same way, too.
Oh, excellent. So you had no problems with living there whatsoever during your duration?
No.
It was fairly comfortable living?
Well, you slept in the sleeping bag and stuff like that. You had to go down the street there for a shower and stuff like that.
Oh.
There was no washrooms in your own room, eh?
Oh.
So you had to go to a common wash area and stuff like that, eh?
Okay. How did you find the climate of Korea when you were there? Did you?
I was there. Well, it was cold and damp, eh?
Cold and damp?
Cold and damp, and then you get some snow too, eh?
Yeah, any different than here in Canada that you found, or was it fairly easy to get used to?
Well, when you come from the prairies, you got to get pretty good. Eh?
Yeah, I've heard it's really cold in the wintertime in the prairies.
But it was damp in the fall. It was damp and cold, and you get snowy.
Could you describe a normal routine for you in a day while you're stationed in Korea?
Well, a normal day, you get up in the morning about 6, 7 o'clock, you have your breakfast, and 8 o'clock you went to your platoon, and you had platoon inspections, and then what the area of the training was laid on, eh? Till noon hour, you had 4 hours of training, and then you had your lunch hour, and then in the afternoon, just continue training, eh?
Oh, so training on all sides of that.
Well, you're always training there. And then one of my job was to do, when we moved into Maple Leaf Park there, I had to look after all the fire equipment there. So we had all kinds of fire extinguishers, and I had to learn how to mix the chemicals to put it into there, eh? For on-site protection, eh? Because all the huts were heated with oil, eh?
They were all heated with oil? Yeah. So were there any close calls with that?
We had a hut burn, eh? We had a hut burn, eh? It was burnt in the officer's lines, eh? One burn, eh? One of the officers was killed in it.
Oh, really? When did that happen?
It was during the night, eh? So I don't know if he knocked over the stove or whatever, eh? But all of them escaped from different doors, eh? But he was in the center somewhere, eh? So.
Did you know that officer?
Yeah, I knew him.
Did you know him well?
I knew him from being in the battalion, because I knew him from Wainwright before. Okay, he'd been there, then he got sent over there. Eh? He got sent to reinforcement to Korea before I did it.
Okay.
Because he had to, one time he was with the 1st Battalion, and he went to the 2nd Battalion.
All right. In terms of the shows you got at Maple Leaf Park, could you say some of the ones you got to see?
Some of them were Australian.
Australian shows?
Yeah, the Australians there. And I think we had one or two Canadian ones. They weren't, maybe get one every 10 days or maybe once a month, about that, eh?
Oh.
they used to show movies in the thing there. We used to have our own projectionists that show movies. They used to get the films. We were kind of older, but it was something to watch at night, eh? There was no TV and stuff like that. Eh?
Yeah, not like today.
And there was no radios to listen to either. Eh?
What sort of movies did you watch?
Whatever it was they brought in. Eh? Was there whatever was in the circuit? Eh? The brigade higher up come up. Eh? But there were mostly maybe 4 or 5 year old movies that were been going through the theaters. Eh?
Oh, okay. Were there sort of cinema reels that of the time that would give you a brief outline of what was happening in the war at the time?
No, no. Nope. These were strictly straight movies.
Just straight movies?
Yeah. It would have been some old news flashes part of it, eh?
Oh, there'd be some old news flashes.
In there, eh? But most of them were just movies there. You can sit there. The chairs weren't that comfortable, I don't know what I say.
What, did you have any particular favorite movies you saw at your time?
Well, you never got the same one twice, eh?
Oh.
Yeah. So you got them. They might have got one movie and they showed it maybe for 2 or 3 times because different people couldn't go the same night, eh? Because someone had duties and we always had security people all the time, eh? Working, eh?
Oh, excellent. did you ever get bored while you were in Korea or was there always something to do?
There was always something to do. You didn't have time to get bored, eh?
Oh, yeah, activities and training.
I was in training there because we used to train. The only time we do was, 5 days Saturday. We worked the Saturday mornings too, eh? So you only had Saturday afternoons and Sundays, eh?
Oh, off time.
Yeah. And you worked 5 and a half days all the time, eh? And then the men, if you do kitchen duties, you have to work, eh? You always had to have fatigue parties in the kitchen, eh? Working, eh? You need somebody had to peel the spuds.
How was the cooking now that you mentioned the potatoes?
We always had good cooks, eh? Oh. Military cooks. Eh? Our cooks in the military were very well qualified, eh? Yeah, very well qualified with fresh rations, eh?
Oh, fresh rations, yeah. So you didn't
have... We were on fresh rations there, eh?
Oh, excellent. So that must have brightened up the spirits instead of having all those prepackaged rations.
Yeah. You ate those sometimes you had to. Eh?
Oh, sometimes?
Yeah. When you went on alert, stuff like that, so you took your hard rations with you. Eh? You didn't do your own cooking, eh?
What was a typical meal like at the mess?
Whatever roasted they had, you know, potatoes and meat or chicken or whatever, it comes through the echelon. They had to come. Had come from. Well, we do American rations. They so had to come through the system.
Oh, so it was American produce that had to get to the mess hall for the cooks. Okay. So yeah, the Canadian government didn't ship any of it.
It would have gone through the system. We didn't see it. It would have been through America. They wouldn't have been enough. By the time you sent it in, you would never got there in fresh in time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was purchased down into the American system.
Excellent. Going back to the equipment, what helmet did you use? Was it the Mark II helmet, or did you wear just the normal cap that was?
Most of the time we wore just the Bellacloth caps, eh?
Just the caps?
And helmets we only took when we went on alert, say.
Yeah, do you think it would have been able to withstand a round from a Chinese?
Well, there were the old helmets.
Yeah, from World War One.
Yeah, but we didn't get those helmets until later on.
They did. Their coverage wasn't that well compared to the Americans.
No.
But then again, the helmets couldn't stop a whole heck of a lot either.
No.
All of them. So.
But they were mostly for shrapnel and always airburst stuff like that. The helmets was it. Direct hit did never stop a direct hit.
No. So sort of a artillery bombardment type.
Airburst.
Airburst, yeah.
Shrapnel.
Yeah. And your uniform, what material was it made out of?
It was battle dress, eh?
Battle
dress, and we had coveralls if we had to do some dirty work or something like that. That's the only uniforms you had, eh?
Yeah. Did you like them at all? Were you uncomfortable in them?
Well, that's all you knew, eh?
Yeah. I've heard that the material, was it wool? Or
yeah.
It was wool that
yeah.
It made things really, really uncomfortable and itchy. Did you ever encounter that?
Well, not personally, but... But
it kept you nice and warm, though, eh?
No, it kept you warm, yes.
Oh.
And then you had your big gray coat, and it was heavy and stuff like that if you needed to cover up, but stuff.
Excellent. What else? For how long did your unit remain in Korea for?
There were 14 months, eh?
14 months from 1954 to...
55, eh?
55?
Yeah.
Yeah, were you glad to get out of Korea, or did you?
Yeah. Because it was not really nothing to do. You're glad to get home, eh? And then we knew we were coming here to Victoria.
Yeah, excellent. Where did you land when you got back?
In Seattle.
In Seattle?
Yeah. We came on an American troop ship, eh?
Oh, American troop ship.
From Incheon. We got boarded on Incheon and came back, eh? And it was an American troop ship coming back, eh? There was a lot of American... families on there, they were coming back from Japan and from Korea. A lot of them were married, come home with their families and stuff like that. Eh?
Oh, really?
They had got married over there, or to Asian ladies. Eh?
Oh, South Korean ladies that they met?
Or Japanese. Eh? They were in a separate part of the ship, so you never see them. Eh?
Oh, so you didn't get to talk to any of them?
Oh, no, because you didn't. Because some of them were allowed to go, they stayed with their wives, and some only had visiting rights during the daytime. Eh? So, but we were at the separate part of the ship, so we never had anything to do with it. But the only time we seen them is in the mess hall. Eh?
Okay.
And then we pretty well stuck to ourselves. Eh?
So it was just the your second battalion in that little area that you only got to see for most of the journey. How long did the journey take back?
I think it was about 10 days.
10 days?
I think it was 10 days. Eh? I'm trying to think. I think it was about 10 days.
Did you make any stops during that period?
No.
Nope,
we left from Seattle and we'd come all the way from Incheon to Seattle.
How was your reception when you got back into harbor?
There was no big exception. We got off the ship, we got on the troop on our own trains, and then we went right across Canada wherever we were going to.
Okay.
Because everybody else going home. Everybody had about 30 days holidays. Around 30 days holidays to go away from home, eh?
Were there any other units on that?
Well, there was a lot of Americans on it, and there was some, the rest of the Canadians who were being cleared out, some of them, eh?
Oh.
But they were just individuals, and you didn't get to know them, eh?
Oh, were they in the same, near the same compartment as you were in, or?
No. They might have been in a different area, but in our compartments, there were our own people, eh?
Okay. So once you got back to Seattle, you took a train across to back to Valcartier?
No. No, we didn't go. We went on holidays and then back. We reported back to Victoria.
Oh, reported back to Victoria. Yeah. Okay. Where'd you go out for your holidays?
I went to Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, yeah.
Where my parents lived, yeah.
Oh, were your parents glad to see you home in one piece?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Back to when you were in Korea, did you think the armistice was going to collapse at any point?
Well, we didn't really know, because you didn't have the television exposure you have now, eh?
Yeah, you did not expect everything right that minute.
Because now you knew there was an armistice talking, that's what it said. But now you got cameras all over it, not like in Afghanistan, you got coverage all over the place. You didn't have it there, eh? That's right, you have to think that way, eh? There wasn't the coverage there. You had a news reporter there, and by the time he reported back into it, it took a long time.
Yeah, yeah, the relay from that would take quite a while. So,
but well, we always had hope it was going to hold, and then we knew when we were closing out, and then the other units weren't coming in to replace us, so we had pretty well we figured it was going to hold. Eh?
Excellent. So your unit left in 1955, correct?
Pardon?
Your unit left Korea in 1955?
Yeah.
What?
May.
May 1955?
Yeah.
What else? Let's see if anything I haven't gone over yet. Did you feel the Korean War had a purpose that truly required the Canadian involvement? Or?
Yes, because it was a NATO thing, eh?
Yeah, NATO and UN.
And NATO and UN, eh? And it had a purpose, because otherwise the North Koreans would have come over and taken over more and more, eh? And the communists did.
Yeah, did.
So it had a purpose to it.
So you, in a sense, you believe the domino theory of what? I can't remember the name offhand who said it in the American State Department, I think. But yeah, you said that if one domino falls, the next will fall. So you sort of felt that that would happen if South Korea would fall.
Yeah. And they would have moved, other words. Well, if they got this, we'll try the next country. Don't know if they would have gone it, but they would have been looking at the other countries around that they could take on, eh?
Yeah, I saw the same thing in Vietnam, too. Yeah. But that didn't end up as successful as South Korea.
No.
Do you think Canada did enough in Korea?
Well, where I was, yes, I think. But all the rest would be politics, eh?
Yeah, that's...
And when you're down the bottom, you're a peasant, you don't know.
You can't get what's going on up at the top.
Higher up, eh?
Are there any thoughts about your experience as it relates to the Korean War, which may have not been covered, that you'd like to share?
No, I when I think back, but I had a good trip because I flew from Vancouver. I flew to Japan, and I met a friend there who was a medic I knew from Germany, and he showed me around Tokyo, and I went to a dinner where you took your shoes off and stuff like that, eh? It was very nice. And then I flew from there out to Korea, and from there out to the unit, eh? But it was good. Otherwise, I would have never been in Japan, but I could look at Japan. I spent about 4 days and 5 days in Japan before I flew to Korea, before the aircraft was available for flight over there.
Who was your friend in Japan that you met?
Well, he was a medic, eh? And I forget his name. He's long gone. I think
long
he's
gone.
Long gone. Yeah. Since then, I hadn't ever run across him, eh?
So, had he served in Korea as well?
But he was. He was a medic there. But he was a medic for us in Germany.
He was a medic for you in Germany.
The one I knew from Germany.
Oh, excellent.
But he'd come back. He'd gone ahead there, and he was, because the Canadians had a section in Tokyo, eh?
Oh, cool. So you're glad you got to see the world, in a sense.
Yes. That's the only reason I joined the Army, to see the world.
See the world, yeah.
I stayed in there because I went to Europe 3 times, and I went to Korea, no, it's Cyprus, tours in Cyprus. And then I did all kinds of exercise in Norway, so.
Oh, Norway, you went to?
We used to go fly out of here. We used to fly to Norway for winter exercises.
Oh, excellent.
We were part of Ace Mobile Force.
What was that?
Ace Mobile Force, eh? The standby force for 27 Brigade, stuff like that, eh? For Europe, eh?
Oh, excellent.
When the Cold War was going on, eh?
Yeah, for very, very hot spots, yeah. Especially in the Arctic. When,
yeah, and we were one of the units designated to go up there. So we used to go fly into Bardufoss, Norway.
Oh, excellent. Have you gone back to any of the places you served in? Did you go back to Korea at all after your service?
No, I never. No, some of them guys have. I know some people just come back from there because the Department of Veterans Affairs sends a group every year or every second year. And I got a couple of friends that just came back, eh?
Oh, really?
They went over there and they go, they mostly probably the ceremony. They go to the cemeteries and they go to the embassies and stuff like that, eh?
To sort of do sort of PR work almost, PR, but right. Also to visit fallen comrades,
yes.
and see the battlefield,
yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Well, they don't, not up north, eh, but they go in central Seoul and Busan, where the cemeteries are, they go through there. And the different other units, they were there, eh? Because I think they all go together, eh?
But
every second year, because I know two or three people have been lucky enough to get one there. I got a friend in Calgary, he was selected to go because he was over 80, had to have an escort, so his son was his escort.
Really?
A caregiver, in case you need a caregiver.
Oh, yeah. Do you think, is your unit going to be set, one of those units sent to Korea in the alternating years that are...
I don't know. I think they're selected by Department of Veterans Affairs, eh?
Okay.
That they do. So who gets selected, I really don't know.
Would you like to go back?
I would like to go back, because you fly the government aircraft, all flies you there, and you get the VIP treatment there.
Oh.
And,
okay.
It would be nice.
That would be very nice, eh?
It's something different to see how Seoul has progressed, because I was in Seoul when it was pretty well bombed out and pretty ratty looking.
Oh, yeah, it's surprising how much devastation can befall
because,
a city.
Because I know, because I was in Germany in Hanover in 51, and know how a lot of bombed out buildings and stuff like that, and then a few years later I went to Hanover and it was nothing but glass.
Really?
Built up, eh?
Yes, I'm sure Seoul right now is fairly
built
up
very,
now.
Oh, very, very modern, I think, very modern, eh? Because the people I talk to, this is out of this world, eh?
Would you like to visit Maple Leaf Park, the old grounds of Maple Leaf Park, see if there's anything?
I don't think there's anything there.
You don't think so?
Anything that was left there, it was gone in a hurry. Because we had problems of stealing our fuel barrels, eh?
Oh, they stole your fuel barrels, too, when you were
well,
there?
Well, they're empty ones, eh? So they're around, they take them, eh?
Oh.
Well, that was scrap metal for them, and they could sell the scrap and anything else was loose, and that was a matter of survival for them, too, eh? Now that you think of it, eh?
Yep.
No? And then, same thing, anything they could steal, eh? They would take, eh? No? Because their economy was nothing there, eh? For the people, eh?
Would you like to visit the demilitarized zone?
Sure, I wouldn't mind, eh? Now you can go and take a look, see how it was different, eh?
Yeah, stare down the North Koreans once more.
Yeah.
Are you surprised the armistice has lasted this long in Korea?
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised that they haven't signed it. The two of them have never agreed yet. And then North Korea, everything. There was supposed to be a major announcement the other day, yes? So North Korea was supposed to make a major announcement on Monday.
I remember they talked about their
leader.
Yeah, about him maybe being sick or possibly.
Yeah, and then it showed a picture of him, and there was supposed to be a major announcement, and I missed it.
Well, owing to North Korean news agencies, it probably takes a while to censor everything out.
It was supposed to be a major announcement. Now that I just had talked about it. I didn't see it. I didn't see it on the... Could always read the news on the computer there. And I must have missed it.
Do you think the Koreans were grateful for Canada's role, and not just Canada, but the UN's role?
I think so, eh? That's how Korea were, eh? Because otherwise, they would... You know, if they compared themselves to North Korea, it would have been the way people in North Korea live now, eh?
Yeah, exactly. It's... Total polar opposites. Yeah, and in North
and South. They don't even allow them visiting in there. Every time North Korea wants to stir up the pot, they just close the border.
Exactly.
You know, they were having trains go back and forth. They stopped the trains. Anything to get a world attention, eh?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Or anything to blackmail, eh?
Yeah, that's part of the North Korean way. Yeah.
Oh, it didn't take them long to learn that.
All right. Regarding your training at Maple Leaf Park, what sort of exercises did you partake in? Like, for example, was it just physical exercise, or was it just honing your rifle?
Well, yeah, you had physical exercise. You had your road runs and stuff like that. Eh? You kept in shape. Eh?
How long was your road run?
Well, probably first thing in the morning. Eh? Probably half an hour, stuff like that. Eh? And then we also had a gym there too, a big Quonset hut for a gym, eh? For people to go in to work out and stuff like that, eh?
Did you utilize that often?
Well, people did, yeah. When they had off time, they had to go in there, eh? There was some basic stuff in there, eh? And they could play basketball and stuff like that, eh?
Oh, a little taste of home, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Play any floor hockey?
And floor hockey, they had stuff like that, eh?
Oh, you have any tournaments or?
Well, it was in terms we're intercompany all the time, eh?
Oh, did you partake in those?
Some of them, eh? But there was intercompany or inter platoon, eh?
Oh, cool.
So you always had a competition between the companies, eh?
Oh. Bit of rivalries.
No, you always had rivalries between companies. Eh?
Oh, did you play on any teams or?
Yeah, I played hockey years ago and stuff like that.
Oh, sorry.
We used to play in Germany. We used to play touch football. Eh? Well, we used to play football with almost full contact. Eh?
Oh wow! Was it with floor hockey like that or?
No, they played floor hockey. Oh yeah.
Oh nice. In terms of people calling the Korean War a police action, would you consider it that?
Maybe I would, eh? But you're getting into politics, eh? Higher up, eh? It was a type of a police action, I guess you can say, eh?
Yeah, it was a different situation than the Second World War.
Oh, it was completely different.
Yeah.
It was completely different. In the Second World War, you had battle lines drawn up here and there, but down in there, it was completely different because their fighting was completely different. Except in Vietnam, look, their fighting was almost all underground. Eh?
Oh, exactly. It's hard to fight that sort of thing. So you could almost say the Korean War was almost the last conventional one that
pretty
was.
Pretty well, yeah.
That was fought and. So police actually just think just a little tiny bit of that term is relevant to...
Yeah, I think so.
All right. And for the Forgotten War term, where do you think that came about?
Well, I think there's some of the naysayers.
The naysayers?
Yeah.
I
don't think it should be Forgotten War.
Oh, of course not.
No, because we had a lot of troops go train, so there were a lot of people rotate through there and everything else, and we left quite a few bodies behind. Eh?
Oh, exactly, and calling it Forgotten War would just be dishonoring the memory of the guys who served there and fought there. Yeah. It seems as though it's gotten more attention over the years, the Korean War.
It's getting more now than it was for a while there, right?
Yeah, especially with the books written by Norm Christie and the documentaries.
I didn't see a lot of the things that people refer to because a lot of the Canadians went and joined the Americans, eh?
Yep.
There's a lot of because I said, oh, well, it's Forgotten War because they're the American forces, eh? And it was the Americans, eh? But
let's see here. In terms of calling I know a lot of people call the Korean War the Korean conflict. I'm guessing you're more for the Korean War aspect.
Yeah.
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 Why would you not consider conflict as a definition?
Well, conflict is just like a little argument in between the neighborhood.
You know,
neighbors having a little conflict, eh? They're not having a war, they're just having a conflict. Well, this was a war, not a conflict, eh?
Yeah, you can never really call two countries fighting each other a conflict versus a war.
No.
You, for instance, call the Napoleonic era full of conflicts or something to that effect, and it doesn't make sense. No. So One of my veterans who sadly had to cancel his interview with me because of medical conditions. He's pretty adamant about calling it war, the Korean War.
And who did you have?
Ed Hansen.
Ed Hansen, I know Ed.
You do?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I know him very good.
Yeah, he's. I was really looking forward to interviewing him. But
oh yeah, he would have been because he did two tours when the battle was on, eh?
Really?
Oh, oh yeah, I seen his name on the list before, and I didn't ask Ed why he didn't show up, eh? Because I know Ed very good. I know him and his wife very good, eh?
Yeah.
He's a member of Princess Patricia, and I end up in the Patricias, eh? Because in 1970, when Queenstown got remustered as Patricia, Third Patricias, eh?
Oh, it got formed into the Princess Patricias.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know Ed very good, eh?
Yeah.
So if you ever got any questions there, if you want through Ed, let me know. I'll ring it out of him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was just a little disappointed that he had to cancel that interview, but.
Yeah, well, I don't know why, but when did I see him? I seen him a few days ago, but I never talked to him. I never asked him. And I meant to talk to him because I seen his name on the original list that got floated around when they first started lining these interviews up. And I seen his name there, and I meant to ask him, eh?
Yeah.
Because he would have been good, because he would have known the beginning of the war, not mean like the tail end, eh?
Yeah, he was the PPCLI, first deployment.
Yeah, he was there, he did two tours, I think. And he's the one that just come back from Korea, from the trip there.
Really?
From the DVA.
What did he have to say about that trip?
It was very nice, and I've never had a chance to talk to him in detail yet, eh?
Oh. You should die.
Because one of the other guys told me that he had a good trip, eh? But he took his wife with him when he went, eh?
Oh, cool. That's very very interesting. I think you should, if the offer comes up, you should definitely head back to Korea.
I'll see him. Oh, yeah. I'll see him, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll pin him down, eh? I'll find out what he canceled. I'll just squeeze out of him.
Yeah. Even though you're friends with Ed Hansen, did he teach you a lot about what went on in the war before?
No, I had nothing to do with him. I met him after years after.
Just after it.
Because I replaced him in Germany a few years ago. He was a CSM at Charlie Company, and I went and replaced him there, and he came here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that's how I know what I knew of him before, but that's how I know because he was in Germany in Baden-Baden with 3-MAC Commando, and I went from the 3rd Patricia there to replace him.
Oh, that was
then he came here to Victoria, to the battalion Victoria.
Oh, that's
so I know.
Yeah, a lot of your other friends from who fought in the Korean War do you have lots of friends from the Korean War that are in your group that were at that meeting on the 8th of October?
Well, Colonel Pitts was there. He was there, General Pitts.
Oh, and he was there
early on, eh?
In the war?
Yeah, he was there, yeah. General Pitts. Because he was there, and he ended up the commanding officer of one of the battalions of Queen's Own. It was 3rd Battalion. Second Battalion. No, it was 1st Battalion. UCO was the 1st Battalion here, years later, eh?
Oh, years? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we can wrap it up here. Yeah. Any final words about...
No. If you have any questions later on, if you think of something, no, give me a call.
Oh, I will for sure.
Okay, no problem. Or come up, give me a call, eh? A couple nights, because you're on the deadline, aren't you?
Yeah, I got to get my paper done by the 26th. So.
Oh, you got plenty of time because the next few days I'm kind of committed. Eh?
Yeah.
Because I'm with the Knights and we're in Mayfair Mall. We're selling tickets for our charity appeal. Eh?
Okay.
And we're in there. I'm not there myself, but I have to arrange that.
All right.
Well, that's no problem. So get anything you want, ask. Eh?
Oh, I will for sure. Thank you very much. On behalf of Rusi and you, Vic, I'd like to thank you for being a part of the interview.
No problem. Pleasure. I enjoyed the dinner there, too, eh?
Oh, yeah. That was very good, wasn't it?
It was very nice, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
No problem.